Let me do this correctly. Luke chapter 16, verses 8b through 13. This is the reading of God's word. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very, very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you would bless us, that we may truly hear your word so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. O Father, pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear your word, but also understand, and that we believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, and we love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What we are looking at in Book of Luke, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And as he accomplishes kingdom of God, the reality of that kingdom is being witnessed through his works and his teachings. And not only that, the reality of the citizens of the kingdom of God is being witnessed. Just like the manager of the parable that we have looked at last time, we are God's managers. As we have seen, a manager is someone who takes care of the properties or the wealth of the owner according to the desires of the owner. So as God's managers, we must manage all that belongs to God, which is all we have. We have to manage all things exactly according to his will. And just like the manager of the parable, you and I have wasted what belongs to God. We spend all that belongs to God for ourselves rather than for God. What would you say if you know a manager who just uses what belongs to the owner for himself? You're not going to look at him as a good person. But that is exactly what you're doing. Everything belongs to God. You are his manager. God gave all these things so that you could use them for his glory. And yet, here you are, and you know I'm included in that. That we use all that for our own self. Are you a good manager? The kingdom of God coming means that the end has here. It means that the time for God to judge whether you are a good manager or not, that time has come. And when he judges you and me, we know that it will be very clear that you and I were not good managers. And just like in the parable, it's time for the owner to fire us. Now what must we do? Because that time has come. Well, Jesus tells us that we must, with the wealth of God, make friends in this world. It's very urgent. Think about the parable. The owner came and talked to the manager. What are you doing? So, the manager tries to figure out what he could do because it's urgent. He's going to be fired. How can he continue his living? Problem is that even though that time has come, you and I wouldn't feel the urgency. Even though we did not live a life that belongs to a good manager. Do you understand how urgent the time in which you live in? Do you know in what period you and I are living in? The kingdom of God has come with its king. Do you know what has already happened in Jesus Christ? So many do not understand. They live as if the kingdom of God has not yet come. Jesus said, "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." The worldly people are more shrewd when it comes to the security of their worldly future. You and I must be wise about our future, but our future is the future that belongs to heaven. Then how can we be wise? Jesus is teaching through that parable. How can you be wise? What must we do to live wisely? Well, Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. With earthly wealth that God gives you, you must make friends. Meaning you must use your earthly wealth for the other people. In other words, we must store up our treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, "But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Next question is then, how then can we store up our treasure in heaven? Luke chapter 12, verse 33a, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven." Luke chapter 18, verse 22a, "When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven.'" The word is very clear. How do you store up treasure in heaven? Well, that you use the earthly treasure for other people. Now, how often we fail doing this? First of all, we think that all we have is ours. And because you start from wrong understanding, you don't obey God. Because if it is mine, how can I, you know, I spend so much time and energy and all the effort to make this. How can I use that for other people? If I continue to preach this, you're going to feel really bad. Because you know you cannot obey this. It's not like I tell you, okay, now go out and spend all you have for other people. You go, amen, and you're going to go do it. You know you will not. You can't. So, more you hear it, more guilty you will be. But I'm here to preach the gospel. So, even before I get to the end, let me give you a conclusion first. Only hope you and I have is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who lived true life of manager. And He did that for you, in your place. Without Jesus Christ, you're damned. Because I know you're not going to obey what God tells you. Just like me, I'm not going to obey. So understand, only way for us to be saved is trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him, what He has done for you. But Bible also says once you truly starting to believe, that what you believe will come out in your life slowly. You will live like that, little by little. Once you believe. But see, problem again is that we just don't believe. Think about last 6 days, starting Monday. Did you ever got up in the morning and says, oh yes, everything is God's. And I have to use this for the other people. Is that how you lived your life? You think it will be any different tomorrow? Do you understand how desperately we need Jesus Christ? Otherwise, you and I will damned forever. The first thing you do is you believing Him. Trust Him. Hold on to Him. And listen to what God is saying to you with that faith. Then it becomes not burden, but it becomes joy to you, these words of God. Without Christ, all these commands that God gives you is a burden to you. Because you know you can't do this. You will not do it. And when it comes to choosing, using it for yourself and using it for others, you deliberately, you will choose to sin. This is how sinful we are. But how can we obey? Well, by faith. That's the only way. You start and you continue and you will end with faith. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from You. And from You, Your hand, we have given You. So they're confessing as they give to God, everything belongs to You, and even the things we give You is from what You have given us. This is the confession of Christians. So Jesus says in verse 12, in the use of that which is another's, another's meaning, in our context, God's, we use another's for the others. This is God's manager's life that we must live in this world. using God's according to His will. And what is God's will? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. Did you hear what God said? What is going on in our lives? You need to understand what is going on. It is God who gives you. And if you have a lot, God gave you a lot. And if you have little, then God gave you little. But why does He do this? So that someone who has a lot share what he has with the someone who doesn't have. But later on, someone who doesn't have today, he will have a lot, so that he could share all that he has with someone who doesn't have. And it could be you, even though you might have a lot now. So that there will be equality. This is the will of God. But, are we going to see this in our church? Even though we understand this is the will of God, this is what God wants, and yet are we going to do this? And why is God requiring for us to do this? Well, it's always the same. He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to participate in the life of Christ. That's our purpose, to be like Christ. Because this is exactly how Jesus lived. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." See, this is the gospel. Jesus was rich, and yet He became poor, so that you who were poor now has heaven. You who are poor can be rich. God wants you to demonstrate that gospel as you live. If you are rich right now, then share what you have with poor, so that those who are poor can live like rich. Once you do that, your life actually becomes gospel. And you witness gospel through your life, not just with your lips. It's one thing to just go out and say what gospel says, but how about actually living the gospel? And God has provided church to demonstrate this. This is why church, we collect whatever offerings that you give. Why? So that if there's anybody who is in need, who could help? If you truly, truly believe we are the family, what would you do if your sister is in need? And if you don't have anything and you have father or mother or your brother, what would you do if you are in need? You will go to them. But see, people don't believe we are one family. It's just all talk. Because if you truly believe we are one family, you will come. It's not about being embarrassed. Oh, brothers and sisters, if I'm just a regular churchgoer, I'm not a pastor, man, I will come to session every single time. And whatever problem I have, I will give it to the session. Hey, I have this problem. Solve it. And they will tell me what to do. And I just do them. Man, my life will be so easy. I trust my elders to tell me what Bible tells me. And if they tell me what Bible tells me, all I have to do is just do that. But you don't trust. And you even think it's my life. What do you care? Let me tell you, it's not your life. Bible says it's not your life. And you belong to God. And once you say it's my life, then you're not talking the truth. That's what the world tells you, that it is your life. You belong to God. And you confess that you want to desire what God said. You want to do what God says. If I have money problem, I'll come to session. Hey, I need money, you know, like tell me. Maybe you could get me a job. I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, elder has all the answers, but at least we're going to think about it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it. And I believe God will give us a solution when we do that together. If I have a marriage problem, I will come and say, hey, I have this problem. And then in session, they will do something about it. This is how you live as a Christian. This is what church life is all about. This is what Bible is saying. But again, I don't know. I don't know if I ever going to see this reality in any church, even our church. But I pray that God will work in us that we may do this. And if we refuse to do it, then, you know, what can we do? You young people, whatever problem you have, first thing you should think is, I should go talk to my spiritual fathers. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Unless you really believe that your spiritual fathers will tell you false things. Or if that's what you believe, then you better go to another church. Why would you here? Why are you here if you believe our spiritual fathers will tell us wrong things? Understand, another reality has been accomplished. So it's not just earthly family anymore. Do you understand there God has accomplished another family? The forever family? This is why I could even go to orphan. I could even go to people without family and say, be happy. Because they actually have family. Heavenly one. The eternal kind. And you should be very happy with that. And I'm not just saying, oh, just pretend that they're family. No, they are your eternal, true eternal family. Earthly family is temporary. Your father will not be your father after the 100 years. My wife will not be my wife. Actually, I'm going to be his wife, and she will too. And how can we show that we are truly one family? It is shown most, what's the word I'm looking for? In terms of how we use money, that's what it will truly show. Because I know you're going to use your money for your family. That's guaranteed. I don't know. These days, that is not true. But you know what I mean. please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you should pay more to church and all that. I'm talking about the heart. If you love. Yeah, talk to the session members. Come to him and say, "Hey, elder, is there anybody who's suffering at this moment in our church? Can I know about it so I could help? Can I do something for that kind of person if there is one? Do you ever care? Do you come to an elder and ask this kind of question? Or it's all about your own earthly family. If they're okay, then you think it's okay." Jesus, who was rich, and yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. See, this is to be like Christ. Those who are faithful with the worldly wealth will also be faithful with the heavenly wealth, Jesus says. Jesus tells us, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, meaning worldly wealth, who will entrust you the true riches, the heavenly riches, to you? Oh, brothers and sisters, we must live as a faithful manager of God. And when we come to Luke chapter 16, verse 13, this is the focus today. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Isn't it very interesting, brothers and sisters? If God wants to compare two masters, don't you think that it will be so obvious that God would say, you cannot serve both God and Satan? Isn't that obvious that's how he should say it? But that's not how he says it. He says, no two masters, God and wealth. This clearly shows where our hearts will be if it is not to God. Here, two masters are God and wealth. The first thing that we must understand is that the wealth can be our master. That's what you got to understand. It could be your master. The wealth can be an idol. It is not saying that the wealth itself is bad. But when you love wealth, having it becomes the purpose of your life. Because you will serve the things that you love. Thus, the love of wealth becomes your religion. It becomes your master that you serve. It becomes your idol. Thus, the Bible says that greed is idolatry. See, I'm not making this up. Colossians 3:5b, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Ephesians 5, verse 5b, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Thus our God says in Ephesians 5:3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. So, best way to prevent the wealth to become an idol is to use it for the other people. If you use the wealth just for yourself, then gathering that wealth and spending that wealth for you will be your purpose, your master, and end up loving the wealth more than God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by ignoring for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Brothers and sisters, loving the wealth comes from loving oneself. The manager of the parable, remember, he is a worldly manager who acts shrewdly when it comes to the worldly system and the worldly wealth. But brothers and sisters, you and I must reject and forsake the worldly system itself. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. You cannot serve God and wealth. God demands 100% of all of you. Luke chapter 10, verse 28, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Thus, if we are robbed of just a little bit of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind to the worldly wealth, then we have a problem of loving our God the way we should. Do you understand? As I hope and I pray that as you hear more and more, that you will realize how desperately you need Jesus Christ, because you just cannot do this unless God pours out His grace. That's only when we are at least will do best to do it. Serving wealth or serving God. Serving, it involves our will and our acts. Which means you and I, we're willfully serving that thing. If it is wealth, then you are willfully. You know that you are. But that's what you want. That's why you will do it. After you serving the wealth, you cannot go to God and say, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. You knew exactly what you're doing. This is how sinful we are. It involves our will and our acts. Serving the wealth involves the same. Some love the wealth so much that the wealth becomes their God, and they actually serve it as their master. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, speaking of the enemy of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who sets their minds on earthly things. See, these people set their minds on earthly things. Thus, they set their minds on money. And their God, it says, their God is their appetite, the sinful appetite. Appetite for the worldly wealth. Thus, they become the slaves of it. So they are dominated by the appetite of the money. That's all they think about. They are slaves for that evil appetite. Romans chapter 6, verse 16a. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of those one whom you obey? And if you obey your sinful appetite, then that appetite becomes your God. Because you're obeying that. And this is how you and I live most of the time. I want you to understand how you are from these verses. I want you to truly understand so that you will not sin like those Pharisees. See, these Pharisees, they're sinners too. The difference is that they thought that they were doing well. And that's the one thing that I am trying to prevent you to do. If any of you sitting there saying, I'm okay, you're not okay. You need Jesus Christ. These Pharisees, they never repent because they did nothing wrong according to themselves. They even blame God. And we're going to talk about more about how the Pharisees thought in next verses. But today, understand when Jesus is pointing out this sin of Pharisees, he's actually pointing out sins of you, your sins. Many people, even though they serve two masters, they do not realize that they are doing it. Yeah, I don't have time to read all this, but 2 Kings chapter 17. And I pray that you would go home and read this, and let me just explain. The king of Assyria, they brought men from Babylon and from Kuthah and from Ava and from, man, all these, Hamath and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the cities of Samaria. So what they did was, Assyria has attacked Israel, right? And they won. So they brought some people from their country and they put them in the land where Israelites used to live. But what happened was when they came and lived, God was punishing them by sending some lions and they killed them. So they realized, oh, we need to live according to God, their God. So they send out men and say, find some leaders so that they could learn how to serve this God of Israel so that they would not be attacked like this. So they found leader, priest, came to that area and said, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And this is what, what they did. Verse 32, they also feared the Lord. They actually feared the Lord. And appointed from among themselves priests of the high places, who acted for them in the houses of the high place. They feared the Lord and served their own gods according to the custom of the nations from among whom they have been carried away into exile. Verse 41, so while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children, likewise, and their grandchildren, as their fathers did, so they do to this day. We must examine ourselves to see that this is not what we're doing. This is not serving God at all. They fear the Lord, and yet they serve their God. You cannot serve the wealth Monday through Saturday and all of a sudden on the Lord's Day you serve your God. That's not serving God at all. What does it mean that the kingdom of God has come? It means that the world is passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17b, the old things passed away, behold, the new things have come. And we must live according to that reality. Thus Paul says, Colossians 2:20, New American Bible version, if you died with Christ to the eternal powers of the world, why do you submit to regulations as if you were still living in the world? Because the world is passed away as far as we're concerned. Listen to James. I know it's getting long, but give me 5 more minutes. Listen to James chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you, and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. What was their problem? That they store up their treasure in the last days. If it is truly last days, what should be your attitude towards this world? I mean, if you see Jesus coming back, and you know it's the last day, what would you do about your earthly belongings? You will not care, because you're going home. This is how your attitude should be, understanding that we are living in the last days. Brothers and sisters, do you store up your treasure in the last days? Do you see how foolish that is? Do you understand in which time period you are living in? Do you remember James chapter 5, verse 5, from last time, to live luxurious life in these last days is that you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter? It's foolish to live like that. And I'm not against you making a lot of money. Like I said, please do. But once you make it, how would you use it? For yourself or for the glory of God? And why do you want to make money? Is it so that you could use for the glory of God, or is it so that you could use for yourself? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the true rich people are those who store up their treasure in heaven. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Yes, in this world they are very poor, but Jesus says to them, you are actually rich. Revelation 3:18, verse 8, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Buy gold refined by fire. If that phrase is referring to suffering, Jesus says, buy his suffering so that you may become truly rich. Do you understand? But I don't have anything in this world. But do you know how much you have in the eternal world? What if somebody says and come to you and says, you have to live poor for 1 year, but after 1 year, suffering like poor 1 year, you're going to be so rich. You will endure that 1 year with happiness. Now, 100 years compared to eternity is shorter than 1 day. And all God is saying, you might be poor in this world, but after this world, man, you're going to be so rich. But you just cannot handle it. Oh no, I'm so poor here. It's okay. It's okay. It's how God sees you, not how world sees you. So what world says I'm failure? I'd be glad to take that title. Failure! Thank you. But I'm success in Christ. By suffering so that you could truly be rich. Do you understand the gospel? And I know some of you, even sitting here, I know you guys suffer so much. You know, I don't want to mention name and what happened, but I know. I just pray that don't think that's just suffering and it's sad. I want you to understand that you are rich because of it. It's worth it. Revelation 3 verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Some people think they're so rich in this world, but Jesus says to them, no, no, you are so poor. And he will find that out when he dies, how poor he is. God says, Luke 12, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You cannot fake this. If your treasure is in heaven, then your heart will be there. But if your treasure is all about this world, then your heart will be there. This is not something we could fake. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. There are many examples in the Bible because they loved the world so much, they deserted. Paul deserted Christ. That's what the worldly wealth will do to you if you love it. Again, we are not saying making a lot of money itself is evil. But once you make it, you must share it with the others so that you will store up your treasure in heaven. This is what serving our God is all about. It is to serve the other people. Now, all that, if you apply to yourself, you know you're in trouble. Just like that manager, he knew he was in trouble. What should I do now? That's what you should respond. What should I do now? Well, make friends with your earthly treasure. And let me end with this, because without Jesus, all that I said to you is just condemning you. Because you're guilty. And I don't care how determined you are to follow it. Okay, young. Now, okay, I made a determination. I will obey now. No, no, no. You cannot obey this. You need Jesus Christ. And even if you obey just a little bit, you need to do it by faith in Jesus Christ. First thing, Jesus is the true manager of God. If he did not live the true manager's life for us, then you and I will be forever judged by our God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, he served only his Father. He forsook this world and all that is in it. He has spent all he had, even his life, for the other people, for us. He has spent all that for you and for me. He considered you and me worthy to spend all he had. And because he has lived the true manager's life perfectly for us, God receives us as such. But this does not mean that we now can just sin as much as we want. If that is your understanding, that you do not have faith that is needed to be saved. We must do our best to live the true life of the managers of God, especially during these last days. We must understand what it means that the kingdom of God has come, that the last days have come, and we cannot live any longer as if we are still living in this world. We must live by faith. And God receives you as perfect manager
Because Jesus Christ have that life for you in your place. And once you start believing it, but you know you're not living that life, so you will repent. And as you repent, as you believe, repentance and faith, this is what Christian life is all about. Without it, you just cannot do this. Don't even tell me I'll try my best. Go ahead, try it. I've been trying it longer than you have, and I still fail. And I know you will too. You will fail. But it's about trusting Christ, and it's about repenting of our sins. That's what our life is all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for saving us, giving us a way to be saved, and it is Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and living that perfect righteous life, the perfect life of your manager. Thank you for him living that life for us in our places. And Father, as your people who believe all this, let us do our best to participate in his life more and more to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.